Are listening to La Croix Palestinienne, the Palestinian radio program from Montreal, and this is CKUT 90.3 FM. I'm pleased to have two representatives, the two Jewish groups, and one in Montreal and the other in Chicago. In the studio we have Bruce Katz, a founder and co-chairman of PAJU, the Palestinian Jewish Unity on Montreal, and Cindy Levitt, a founding member for the Chicago Area Jewish Peace Group. And I wish to start with Bruce. Bruce, a few years ago, when Mr. Ariel Sharon has been elected as a prime minister to Israel, and I remember I asked you for a TV program, what did you think of his election? And if he was going to bring peace to Israel and the Middle East, and have you changed your mind?
No, it's essentially, it was quite, unfortunately, it was quite easy to predict what was going to happen based on Mr. Sharon's personal background, which from the age of, this is somebody from the age of 14 who was already a member of paramilitary terrorist groups, someone who grew up believing religiously in the revisionist doctrine of Vladimir Jabotinsky, who is simply a right-wing nationalist who believed that there was no place for Palestinian Arabs in biblical Israel, because this is somebody who still believes in the idea of biblical Israel, and everything he's done from in his career has been with an eye to expelling Palestinians from their land, or simply transferring them onto reserves, which he's in the process of trying to do. So 2 years ago, when Rezek Farage and I were interviewed by you and by other people, we said that what was going to happen with Sharon there is that he was going to continue with his policy, that he was going to increase, he was going to cause violence to escalate, that the violence would come back and haunt Israelis themselves, that you would see more deaths among Palestinians, more deaths among Israelis. And this is not anything that surprised us then, and it's not anything that surprises us now. He still remains the major obstacle to peace negotiations in the Middle East.
Andy?
Yes?
What do you think? Is Mr. Sharon leading to a peaceful coexistence between the Israelis and the Palestinians in his policies?
Absolutely not. I mean, as we can see in the recent few days, the response was entirely predictable based on his decision last week to go into Gaza and bomb, in a heavily, densely populated civilian area where, you know, many children, innocent civilians, were killed. And he did that full well knowing that there was talk in the works of the various organizations, Hamas and Jihad, that they were considering ending suicide bombings against Israeli civilians. So the only conclusion can be that Sharon does not really want peace for Israelis, and that he will not be the person to lead in that direction. You know, clearly there's a new leadership that's needed.
It is really unfortunate that the situation is going tit for tat now, and it's only the people are suffering, mainly
right.
The civilians. Robert?
Cindy, this is Robert speaking.
Hello.
Hello. Perhaps because what the Chicago, the Not In My Name, did was really amazing with this, I believe it was a die-in and a all-day vigil. Could you elaborate a bit what is Not In My Name and what actions that you took last Friday?
Yes, briefly, Not In My Name was founded after the beginning of the Al-Aqsa Intifada in September of 2000, when that event occurred. A couple of us, as Jews, felt compelled to speak out against what Israel was doing in our names. And so Stephen Feuerstein and I had met and began attending some protests and gathering other people together and started the organization in November of 2000. So we feel it's important for Jews to take a stand publicly so that the Israeli government knows that not all Jews in the world support their policies uncritically, and particularly as American Jews, with our own government and the American Jewish community being so vocally in support of what Israel does. you know, we feel that the public part of our work is important, and we've been doing weekly vigils since March of 2001 in downtown Chicago. Last Friday, when we felt compelled to do something in addition to our Sunday weekly vigils because of the extent of the killing in Gaza, we decided to stage a die-in, and so we had an all-day vigil for that Friday from 8 till 5. We had Not In My Name people and others come and join us. At particular points during the day, we were handing out information. We had a loudspeaker system. We were announcing who we were and why we were there, and then at around noon on cue, about 12 to 14 Not In My Name members dropped to the ground and laid on the ground on a busy intersection for about 45 minutes. People obviously took notice because it was an unusual sight, and people were walking around the so-called bodies to cross the street. We chalk-marked around them. We were announcing repeatedly on our loudspeaker why they were seeing bodies laying on the ground. And around the necks of each person were names and ages, birth dates, and the circumstances of death of both the Israeli and Palestinian children who had been killed recently. So we felt it was something that needed to be done, and to, again, continue to educate the American public about what's being done over there with our tax dollars, the F-16s. Obviously, the U.S. tax dollars are going to support the weaponry that is killing civilians, and we're also trying to look into whether or not that violates some of the U.S. arms export Control Act, because the weapons we sell to other governments are not supposed to be used against civilians.
Excellent work.
Really good.
That's truly amazing. How was your convention? And then we'll say goodbye.
Yes, a week ago Sunday, we had our first actual convention for Not In My Name. Although we've been in existence since November of 2000, we needed to do some in-house, housekeeping organizationally in terms of passing bylaws and formally electing new leadership. A new steering committee is what we call our board of directors. And so we had about 40 members gather in Chicago and spend a day together just going through some of our organizational things and trying to focus on where we want to be going in the future. So it was a good way for us to come together and actually sort of talk about what committees do we need and try to reinvigorate the work. As things get so tragic over in Israel and Palestine, it's sometimes difficult to keep the momentum going over here because we're not seeing the results that we would hope for. I mean, we're working for peace and justice, and as things fall apart, it makes our work even more difficult, but also more important that we move forward.
I'm sure you are doing the first step, and hopefully that one day we won't do this anymore.
Yeah.
We'll live in peace, but with people like you and people like Bruce and Robert here, I'm sure the march will go on, and eventually we will succeed. We will turn this page, and because this killing and nonsense is not really helping anybody.
No.
Bruce, you have your vigils. What's happening with? Tell us more about your vigil.
The vigil has gone on since February 9th, 2001. It was a vigil originally organized by PAJU and the Jewish Alliance Against the Occupation. And now it's also been joined now by Women in Black, which is a recently formed group comprised of Jewish women, Palestinian women in the Montreal area, and also many people from the general public who show up every Friday from 12 to 1. We have a decision to make in terms of the site, whether or not we're going to keep that site, because we've kept that vigil going every Friday in front of the Israeli consulate on Peel
René
Lévesque, but we've been told that the Israeli consulate and a number of other consulates, the Israeli consulate in Montreal will be closing at the end of August. The Israeli government has claimed that this is for reasons of money saving, which was $13.5 million, which I find ludicrous because they get $5 billion a year from the United States government. So it's certainly not $13.5 million that would have caused them to close it. I think that it's the consistent pressure that's been exercised here and other areas like Harare in South Africa that has caused them to close, take the decision to close their consulate. But the vigil, nevertheless, will continue. It's simply a question of the various groups who attend the vigil coming together on whether or not we stay at that site or we choose another one.
Well, you absolutely were effective, it seems to, in two points. One, there is the Zionist supporters were trying to block you by renting a big truck to almost like one half a block size, but you continued and you succeeded. Now there is another demonstration pro-Israel, but it seems like it's giving more attention to your work.
Yeah, that's a counter-demonstration across the street, which has, I think, gone on now for about five or six Fridays. but again, essentially, that counter-demonstration, while there are people who hold up signs saying, we're for peace, you cannot both be unconditionally in support of Ariel Sharon and be for peace. I mean, these are this is an absolute contradiction in terms. So I hope that those people across the street will give the issues a little more study, a little more analysis, and I think that they'll come to the understanding that as long as Ariel Sharon and his cronies are in power in Tel Aviv, and do what they do with impunity, there isn't going to be any progress in the situation.
Cindy, last word from you.
Well, I would just say, too, that at our vigils, we have counter-demonstrators from a group called the Jewish Defense League, which is really a racist, extremist Jewish group. And I'm afraid that just trying to suggest that they get a little more analysis may not work, at least with the people we have here. I mean, it seems there are some people who just want the land, and they're willing to sacrifice, even Israelis' deaths to get that. And so their political analysis may be way different from mine, but I'm just afraid that some of the people who are against the work that we're doing in our Jewish peace groups, that peace is not really the ultimate goal for them. And, you know, that's an unfortunate reality that I've had to contend with. So, you know, it's my hope that people across all the various sides, I don't even like to talk about both sides, but Jewish, Arab, Palestinian, Muslim, Israeli, Christian, you know, that we can all work for peace together and demonstrate through our coalition building and the work that we do across these divides that there are people who are sincere about coexistence, about justice, about security. And, you know, it's my hope that as these numbers grow and as that we get more media attention, that's why I appreciate your having us on the radio, because many people don't know that we exist, and I think it's important for people to hear an alternative dissenting Jewish voice in particular on the Israeli-Palestinian conflict.
Well, great. It was very nice to talk to you, Cindy.
Thank you.
And thank you, Bruce, and for the work you're doing, and let's hope we will one day will be the upper hand.
Yeah.
Power for peace.
Thanks a lot, Cindy, for speaking on our show.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Good luck, Cindy.
Oh, thanks.